to Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1, if I may read just one verse. For the lapse of time we have before us tonight, this will be the foundation of this sermon. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. So my subject is very simple. A sinner turned into a saint. How could you and me, sinners as we are, wretched sinners, million miles away from God, how could we have fellowship with the living God? And this is a well-known text. It's a very familiar verse. It's a timeless text, actually, a golden text. And it is the first of five faithful sayings. The same expression or the same style, even the same confession, is found five times in the New Testament and exclusively in the pastoral letters. 1 Timothy 3 times, 2 Timothy once, Titus once. So 5 times you find this wonderful, it is a Pauline formula actually. Only Paul uses this wonderful expression. It is a basic gospel statement. And many people believe this was a confession actually professed by the early church. In the early church, this is how believers will defend the faith, and they will speak about it, even as a part of a hymn. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world, sinners to save. But this is, I'm sure you will agree with me, even if you have never heard the gospel, all the gospel, all you need to know about how to be saved, how to come close to God, is compressed in this verse, condensed in this one verse. It is as if we may say one of those wonderful summing up of the gospel. So you may forget everything you know. If you have understood this verse, it takes you into the very heart of the gospel of redeeming grace. And I believe it is a verse for every sinner. Are you a sinner? Of course you are. You and me, we are sinners. No relationship with God. Romans 3 verse 23 says, all have sinned and come short to the glory of God. All means you and me. There is no exception. But this verse is telling us also, who is Christ? The Lord Jesus Christ. Who is He? What has He done? But the verse tells you also, who am I? And how can I be saved? How can a sinner, you and me, polluted, contaminated by sin, from my mother's womb, I'm a sinner. How could I have all my sins be forgiven? So to make it simple, I have five headings, very simple headings or points, to help us to understand who is Christ, why He came, who are we, and how we can be saved. And the first one, and it's all in the text, don't trust man's opinions and imagination. Just believe what the Word of God is telling us about. How can we relate to God? How can I be a new person? How can I change in my mind, in my heart? How can I change my relationship with the world which surrounds me? How can I change even my relationship with the living God? My Creator, the one who has designed me, the one who is my Maker. You didn't make yourself up. I didn't make up. Oh, the proud think I'm here in this world. Who put me in this world? I put myself in this world. That's pride. And that's why so many times in the Word of God, Psalm 14 verse 1, the fool says in his heart, there is no God. But there is a God. And one day we must stand before God. You know, we will stand before God to be judged in terms of what we have done with this message, with this one verse. And none of us will stand before God to have any alibi or to have any excuse, because we have heard it. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. Christ Jesus came into the world, sinners to save. So the first thing I want to put before you, this is a faithful saying. The faithful saying, that's the first heading. Actually, in the Greek text, it goes this way, faithful the saying. So the emphasis is on the word faithful. What does it mean? This is trustworthy. It is reliable. It is accurate. It is sure. Why am I emphasizing on every adjective here? Because we live in a world where there are so many lies. There is so much propaganda. But the verse tells us there is something trustworthy. There is something sure. There is something accurate, rock solid. And this confession remains unmatched and unchallenged. Wherever you go into Africa, Asia, Europe, wherever you go, this confession has passed every test. It doesn't matter which culture you come from. So Satan is the father of all lies. We know that from the word of God. But this is a faithful saying. Oh, my dear friends, if you are here also, or maybe you have heard the gospel on so many occasions, but you have never repented before God, this is a faithful saying because it comes from God. Titus 1 verse 2 says, God cannot lie. But Satan, the world, with its gimmicks, with its never fulfilled promises, is giving us promises which he is not able to fulfill. But there is something I can trust because it comes from God. You don't need me to tell you this. We have witnessed the collapse of so many philosophies, so many ideologies, so many systems. Why? Because they have proved themselves to be faithless. They are not worthy of our faith. They are not worthy of our trust. We should never even look at them. We should have never even studied them. But this verse tells us there is something worthy to understand. My dear brothers and sisters, I cannot rely on science. Oh, science is very good. It can tell us, it can help us with so many things. But you see, the medias, the television, the newspapers, the internet, they are changing their minds all the time. And the worst, when soon what they have said is debunked, they do not even apologize, because that will be on their shame. So they harden themselves in big, big lies. Can I trust what the Bible says? Can I trust what the Lord Jesus Christ has said in his word? This verse tells me, yes, there is something trustworthy, there is something firm. You know, it's like a label. Many things we buy in shops, there is a label. Some of them tell us, this is pure 100 juice, but actually, I don't trust them. But this verse tells me, the label is more reliable than heaven and earth. Those of you and many here know their Bibles. Christ said, it is easier for heaven and earth to disappear than even an iota from his word. So this verse tells me that there is something in this world which is reliable and which is heavier than heaven and earth. That's the word of the Lord Jesus Christ. Can I say this is full guarantee? Nothing in this world, insurance, sometimes they fool us, they say, full guarantee. There is nothing full guarantee into this world. But as I trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, as I repent from my sins, as I heed to his calling tonight, what happens to me? I receive that full guarantee of salvation. This is more I read this verse. You know, this verse I could only equate it. It is the equivalent, and again from the word of God, of one expression the Lord Jesus Christ has used so many times in the gospel, and especially in the gospel of John. I'm sure you know the expression. Christ said more than 20 times in the gospel of John, verily, verily, most certainly. So this is the equivalent. Now Paul says, oh, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. So I can trust in the word of God. All the Bible is always right. But Paul has underlined this verse because its message is unambiguous. And its message is worthy to be preached. You know, just to close with this first point. This verse, you can read it, memorize it. Oh, children, those of young age, please memorize this verse. And as I said in my introduction, if you are a sinner who have never trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ, this is your verse. Easy. No word, you don't need a dictionary to know the meaning of any word in this verse. You don't need to learn Hebrew or Greek or Latin to know what the verse is all about. This is a faithful saying. But the verse is telling me actually, there is no other way to be saved. People are telling us there are many religions. This one is saying, I'm the way. That one is saying, here it is, I'm the way. I have the truth. This one says, no, it's me. But this verse says, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world, sinners to save. He's the only Savior. Oh, I wish I could tell you there is another way. But there is no other way. John 14 verse 6, the Lord Jesus Christ said, I am the way. He didn't say, I'm one of the ways. I'm the only way. The definite article, no other way. So that's the first point I would like to put before you, the faithful saying. It is trustworthy, fully reliable, accurate, and sure. But second, see the verse again. Now, not only you have the faithful saying, but the faithful word came. Because the word is another name given to the Lord Jesus Christ. John chapter 1 verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That's the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. But do you see, something happened in this verse. Oh, I'm sure you don't need me to point this to you. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came. It is in the past tense. It means this is something which has happened already. Christ Jesus came. Do you see, this speaks about his incarnation. What does it mean, incarnation? Incara in Latin means Christ came in the flesh. God came in the flesh. God came in a human body in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. But it speaks also not only about his incarnation, it speaks also about the redemption. What do we mean by redemption? Somebody must pay the price for my sins. Money cannot do it. Gold cannot do it. Silver cannot do it. The blood of animals is too small. And a sinless man, a blameless man, only God becoming a man could purchase the sins of every person who will put his trust in the precious blood of Christ. Oh, my dear brothers and sisters, Christ is the only Savior. But do you see, the text says that Christ Jesus came into the world. It doesn't say Christ was born into the world. You and me, that's how we come into the world. We are born into the world. What does it say? It means Christ had a prior existence. Christ existed before he came into this world. He has always existed. He has no beginning in time. He is the eternal Son of the living God. He is the second person of the Godhead. He came down from heaven to earth to take a human body, a human nature, with a body like ours, like yours and mine. But the great exception, He took a body without sin. He was born without sin. He was born through a virgin. He lived a perfect life. He died innocently on the cross of Calvary. On the third day, He was risen from the dead. No other religion can give you such a message. It's only the Word of God. He took the form of a servant. This is the unfathomable love of God. He came into our sin-sick, cursed world. But my dear friends, there is something I don't want you to miss. And it's so important. Look at again the verse. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that we have His two most precious names. Christ Jesus. And do you see the order? The order is important. Normally, the classic order we have throughout the New Testament is always Jesus Christ. But the emphasis now, the humiliation of Christ is over. It is finished. He's not anymore on a cross. He's not anymore in the grave. He has ascended and He is sitting at the right hand of God the Father. And that's why Paul uses the other order. Instead of saying Jesus Christ, he says Christ Jesus. And when you read the pastoral letters, at least 25 times Paul is avoiding the classic order Jesus Christ, and he says Christ Jesus. Did we get that? That's very important about the person of Christ. Who is Jesus? The name Jesus means God is salvation. Jehovah is salvation. Jehovah is my Savior. But the name Christ, you see, if Paul have said that Jesus came into the world, oh my dear friend, I shouldn't miss this. If Paul has said that Jesus came into the world, there wouldn't be anything special. Because even today, in South America and in some countries in Africa, people are still called Jesus. And actually, the name Jesus is exactly the same name as Joshua. Many people are called Joshua. But here, he puts that emphasis. It's not just Jesus like any other Jesus, but this is Christ Jesus. What is the meaning of Christ? Please, that is not His surname. It's not His family name. It's a title. Christ means the anointed one, the appointed one, the chosen one, the holy heavenly one. We could spend the rest of the night, really the rest of this night, just explaining the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. But Paul says, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. Christ Jesus, He came into this world. But I must proceed with our third point. So first, the faithful saying. Second, the faithful word, the Lord Jesus Christ came into the world. And third, Paul as a pattern. Paul pours his heart before us and he gives us a pattern. Do you want a proof that God saves sinners? Do you really want an example to show you that God has the power to turn a sinner into a saint? Paul says here, look at my example. Look at my example. I'm here. I'm saved. There is a proof. There is a model. There is a pattern we can follow. And if you think you cannot be saved, because I met some people, they attend churches, they hear the word of God, and they tell me, Pastor Ibrahim, everyone can be saved except me. I have done terrible things. But you see, Paul says, nobody is out of the reach of God's hand. Nobody. If God can save a person like Paul, I shouldn't go even to Paul. If God can save somebody like me, like you, I'm sure, every Christian, that's why Christians give their testimony. Every Christian has a testimony speaking about the way God has brought that transformation. But God can save a man like Paul, nobody's too hard unto him. And believe me, as you read the New Testament, remember this is the man who has written at least 13 books in the New Testament. Almost more than the half. If you put Hebrews as Paul, then he has written more than the half of the New Testament. But he was million miles away from God. This is somebody who has persecuted the church of the living God. Galatians chapter 1. He said, I have persecuted the church of God and wasted it. He terrified everyone. He widowed wives. He orphaned children. He was a persecutor of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was a persecutor of the Christians. And even he was so proud, he was going to kill Christians and to bring them, some of them, in chains to put them into prison. Because he was so zealous about being against the Lord Jesus Christ. But, my dear friends, that's the negative part about Paul. I believe. If you put the Lord Jesus Christ aside, we do not compare him with anyone. Paul was the most educated man this world has ever known. But do you see how he qualifies himself? People today, they speak, oh, I speak in tongues, rubbish. Paul said, I spoke in tongues more than anyone else. You know, this is the man who could raise the dead. There are situations where even his just a handkerchief who has touched him could heal. But do you see how he describes himself in this verse 15, 1 Timothy 1, verse 15? I am a sinner and actually I'm the chief of all sinners. It's his way of humility, but also his godly sorrow. This is a man with a contrite heart. This is a man with a broken heart. Have you ever had a broken heart? Have you ever seen yourself before the living God? Oh, this should be also your reaction, your description. Elsewhere, we know he called himself the chief lawkeeper, but here, not the chief lawkeeper, but just the chief of sinners, not pointing a finger to anyone. In Romans chapter 7, he said, woe unto me! In Ephesians 3 verse 8, he said, I'm the least of all saints. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, he said, I'm the least of all apostles. But this man, as I said, I believe, is the most educated man. You see, my dear brothers and sisters, sin is our problem. That's why Paul says, Christ came into the world sinners to save, of whom I'm chief. Sin is our problem and we need salvation. We need to be rescued. And we are the guilty ones and no one to blame. I don't want to worry you with this, but we are not so nice as we think. Have you seen him? He's so nice. We are not so nice as we may think. We are so wicked. Oh, deep down in our hearts, if only, that's why when people sometimes they speak, I'm telling you what is on my heart. But what does the Bible say about the heart? The heart is wicked above all. So don't tell people what is on your heart. Sin, pollution, transgression, pollution, and so on is on our heart. But Paul, in the Lord's mercy, become the greatest apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ. The persecutor was changed into a preacher. The sinner who was persecuting the church became a preacher. He became a saint. And you don't need to wait until you are dead to become a saint. In the Bible, a saint is somebody who has put his trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. It is not a decision of the church. It is by new birth. And that new birth is given to you and me by the Lord Jesus Christ. The basic truth is that I cannot contribute anything to my salvation. I cannot even tell you tonight, take a decision for Christ. You can't. There are churches, they say, oh, put your hand in the hand of Jesus, all will be alright. No, it's not in the Bible. Nothing you can do will make you to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Even if you fill this room with your tears and good works and prayers, nothing can save you. The only thing you need to do is to look unto Christ. He died on the cross of Calvary. His grace is more powerful than my sinful ways. I'm amazed about the God of the Bible. I'm really amazed. Instead of striking us dead, God is patient with you and me. You know, tonight you hear the message of the Word of God. Oh, I can do it tomorrow. You know, there is a saying, you have good intentions. The way to hell is paved with good intentions. Good intentions has never saved anyone. But look, what makes this statement so great? I'm coming to my 4 point. The purpose of his coming. Why did Christ came into this world? What for? Please, my dear brothers and sisters, Christ came into the world not to be somebody. Yes, he became a man, but more than that, he came to do something. There is a difference. He came to do something, and he came, that word is so precious, to save. Now, people, it is a word that is diluted. People say, oh, he saved my life, he gave me some money. Oh, he saved my life, he gave me a lift. Now, that's temporal, ephemeral salvation. But the salvation the Lord Jesus Christ gives, my dear brothers and sisters, the millions and millions of sins I have committed against God can be all washed away, obliterated, removed, and I become whiter than snow. What can be whiter than snow except a person who has been washed by the precious blood of Christ? Sin is ugly and it makes us to be lost. Sin is shame. You know, the simplest definition of sin is missing the target. God has his standards. He said you must obey, but we are missing the point. So that is sin. Christ came, yes, to teach and to heal, but the first purpose of his coming into this world is to set us free. He came not to make us happier. That's why some churches are saying, I cannot tell you that, come to Christ. In my case, when I came to Christ, my problems have started. But there is something Christ gave me, everlasting life. Even if there is an earthquake, it will not remove that peace and joy in my heart. Why? Because I leave this house tonight, the house of God tonight. I know where I'm going, no matter what happens to me. I am saved because of Christ's sake. And you can go back. There is no greater gift to live than to leave this house tonight forgiven. You know why people, many are depressed? Many are under pressure. Guilt. Guilt. That's the only answer. The guilt of my sins, the guilt of not feeling the forgiveness of God, the guilt of sins I have committed for so many years in my life. But I come to Christ, I receive full forgiveness. Christ is the friend of sinners, not the righteous, not the proud. He came not to make us richer. Some churches again say, come to Christ and you will be richer. You will hit the jackpot. It is nowhere in the Bible. You come to Christ, he came to save, not to condemn. The condemnation will come one day, but he came to save. He has fully satisfied God's requirement. It is true, Christ saves. I must move on. There is more I could say there, but my last point. The Savior is full and worthy of acceptation. The Savior is worthy of full acceptation. That's what the verse says. Christ is worthy to be believed, fully to be received without dispute, without reservation, without hesitation, by all. Please, do you see in this verse? Christ saves sinners. It is not confined to any class of people. That's what the verse says. It doesn't matter you are white, black, yellow, African, European, Asian. It doesn't matter. Are you a sinner? Of course you are. And I am. But we come to Him. It is for all men. It covers all conditions and all sorts of sins. For men and women, for Jews and Gentiles alike. Please, don't be put off by the word acceptation. You know the word acceptation, at least in the old English, didn't have anything bad. It means surrender. Hands up, abdicate. Oh Lord, I cannot do without You. Here I am. Without Thy salvation, I will never be saved. I let down my weapons. That's the word accept means. Surrender, abdicate, yield your life unto the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe in Him. That is, His blood is the seal. His blood backs this confession. The gospel saved Paul. It can save anyone. As I close, cry unto the Lord in the secret of your heart. Don't go to a preacher. Don't go to any man. Two things are necessary for a person to be saved. God, through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the sinner. No intermediary. No mediator. Romans 10 verse 11 says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's the message of the word of God. So believe, rest, and secure your soul on this faithful saying of hope. It is full of integrity. My dear brothers and sisters, I promise I close with this. Please dispel all doubt. Remove any doubt in your heart about the person of Christ, about His redeeming grace, about the fact that He died on the cross of Calvary to save us. The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ is sufficient. It is efficacious. It is effective. It works and it saves. Are you a sinner? Yes, of course you are. Are you saved? Come to Christ and cry unto Him. He is willing to save every repenting sinner who cries unto Him, as I did, as many in this congregation has done also in the past. Let me read it again, the verse. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world, sinners to save, of whom I am chief. Are you saved? Oh, come to Christ. He paid the price. Let's pray together. Our gracious and heavenly Father, we are amazed that such a great God can still love people like us. But we know that God's love is immense. God's love is a reality. That God's love brought the person of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. That was where the love of God was fully expressed. Oh Lord, we thank Thee that there is salvation because of Christ's sake. And we pray again that if there is anyone who have never looked up, trust in this faithful saying that Christ came into the world to save sinners. We pray, Lord, that this will be his night, that he will turn unto Thee and go back home as a forgiven person, as a sinner who has been transformed into a saint. We thank Thee for these things and ask these mercies in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and for His glory. Amen. Let's close our time together by singing hymn number 580. Hymn number 580. It says, "Come, ye sinners, poor and wretched, weak and wounded, sick and sore.